feeling low, which way to go now? It's a freak show down in the city. Broken dreams and desperate screams. The switchblade gleams down in the city. Empty cans, forgotten plans. Begging hands down in the city. Little strewn, a broken tune. And come soon down in the city. Down, yeah, down, down. Down in the city. Nothing's new, the mood is blue now. What's the truth down in the city? The streets are going really yellow, no. The heart is cold down in the city. Watch your back, never slack. The soul is black down in the city. Look around at every sound. Compassion has drowned down in the city. Down! Yeah, down, down, down in the city, down, yeah, down, down, way down in the city.
All right, here we go. Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. We'll be here the next 2 hours. We're got a little blood wolf moon going on tonight, eclipse, so forth and so on. We're going to have a guest coming on in a few minutes, Dr. Jim Fetzer, to talk about his lawsuit with, oh, good old the illustrious, infamous Mr. Posner. And I'm going to get into some stuff where, you know, this ties in with Alex Jones and him getting booted off Roku recently. A lot of very fascinating stuff here. Ken, get clip 14 ready. This has to do with the eclipse. It's going to be actually going on while we're on the air tonight. My Skype was acting a little squirrely when I first connected with Ken a little bit ago. Hopefully everything stays on the up and up. You know, Microsoft, Skype, Bill Gates wants to, you know, kill off the old people to get those 10 teachers paid. Remember this TED talk, but let's start off with a little bit of eclipse news. Let's roll 14.
A last minute heads up here in regards to this total lunar eclipse that's going to go down tonight. And I want to go over some times here real quick. That way, if you have clear skies, you may be able to catch this. And the times are as follows. This eclipse kicks off with a partial at 7:34 Pacific. That's 10:34 Eastern. The total begins at 8:41. That's 11:41 Eastern. And the peak of this eclipse happens at 9:12 p.m. Pacific or 12:12 Eastern, going past midnight, and then that total ends at 9:43 Pacific and then 12:43 as it goes over into the 21st. But this would be something that all of North America can witness tonight if you have clear skies within these time frames. I look to get some footage and share it with everyone out there. So if you guys get some images or video yourself, let me know, dabu7yahoo.com, and I'll get it out there and share it with everyone else so people can see what it looked like from different viewpoints across America or from other places. But that's the time here. And in terms of this whole thing, it's going to last about...
Can you hear me, Ken? Okay, go ahead and stop that video. So we got Dr. Fetzer on the line, but I figured while we were waiting for him, we would talk about the nice wolf moon eclipse thing going on. So that'll be going on shortly. So last week I read a article from Dr. Kevin Barrett about this Mr. Posner suing Dr. Fetzer. Now, Alex Jones is also being sued by some of these Sandy Hook quote-unquote families, and he just got booted off Roku. And so I find this Sandy Hook, what I call an operation, as a bludgeon for people in the what we could just say alternative information research community that look for telltale signs of synthetic operations. So Sandy Hook is the bludgeon to where people, as an operation, where I hear a lot of commotion in the background. Everybody all right?
Yeah, everything's good. Everything's good. My wife actually has gone to watch the eclipse, so.
Okay. So Dr. Fetzer, the bludgeon of Sandy Hook, basically used across all kinds of different spectrums and all kinds of different personalities, but now you are being faced with a, you know, Wolfgang Halbig was involved in this, Alex Jones, and now you're actually going to get dragged into court, I guess. And I from what I understand, you're ready and able, and you want to flesh this out in the court. So welcome to the program, and let's hear what you got going on.
Well, yeah, thanks for having me on, and I like your approach about how this is being used as a political club to beat up on people, and especially when it's such a blatant hoax that this was precipitated by the Barack Obama administration to promote gun control. Mm-hmm. Turns out that the mayor of Boston was on the show Greater Boston about a month before the event, where Andy Rooney's daughter was the host. And the mayor was boasting of his close relationship with Joe Biden and how the vice president had assured him that gun control would be a done deal by January 2013, just 2 months hence. And the host, Rooney's daughter, was just stunned and said, what could possibly happen to bring that about? The mayor, of course, was coy and wouldn't reveal it. But, I mean, this is just an indication of the profound corruption of Barack Obama, Joe Biden, who wants to run for president. Do you remember this episode in the Oval Office where he's standing beside this young woman and he says to her, and the mic picked it up, you have any idea how horny it makes me to be standing next to a 13-year-old girl? And this guy wants to run for president of the United States? I mean, these miscreants. And then Barack Obama is married to a man who has breast implants. And they are voted the most admired man and woman in the world when, his torrid affairs with Rahm Emanuel in Chicago and the bathhouses and all that were well known at the time. I mean, and two men, of course, cannot have children. We've even discovered the parents, and believe me, the father and the older girl look exactly the same. The mother and the younger daughter, exactly the same. I'm just disgusted with all the hypocrisy, the lies, the phony, all the bull. It's just it's nauseating. Now, Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948 in the 2012 Smith-Mundt Modernization Act. Mm-hmm. They called it Modernization Act, but it was a nullification act because the Smith-Mundt Act precluded using the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda within the United States that were being used without. So they nullified the act just in time to bring a Sandy Hook. It was very cleverly contrived. It had been years in the planning. They appear to have brought these families in, synthetic families. We have reports about odd financial transactions on Christmas Eve where the properties are transferred to them for a single dollar. And, of course, any real estate expert will observe that you don't do business transactions on Christmas Eve. But this is among the least powerful evidence we have. This whole thing was phony, contrived, fake from the beginning. It was actually a two-day FEMA drill. We even have the manual with a rehearsal on the 13th and then an evaluation as a live event on the 14th. And while there are those who want to maintain this is somehow a made-up document, it appears to be completely authentic. And all the behavior on the ground corresponds to what you would have expected had it been, in fact, a two-day FEMA exercise.
Sure. Sure. Now, let me ask you this. What is the – let's get into the angle of the – I mean, because I think the RBN audience, definitely a good swath, large swath of us, know that this thing that went on up in Connecticut stinks to high heaven. And so What exactly are they coming after you for? Defamation? And I've read various reports. What exactly is this? What is the nuts and bolts of this thing they're coming after you with?
Well, it's actually quite parallel to the suit that the man who calls himself Lenny Posner, and that doesn't appear to be his actual name. Just as we have established that the children were actually fictions that were made up of photographs of older children, some, Mona Alexis Presley believes, actually the parents used photographs of themselves as children to be the deceased children of Sandy Hook. It was that blatant. What's made out of the photographs of the person supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, when he was younger. It's very interesting because Michael Vabner has gone on to college. He recently graduated from the University of Connecticut at Storrs. He put up a website. It's interesting when you read it, it says, "Hi, I'm Michael Vabner, and you know, I majored in economics, and I did some work in IT and web design, and I'm looking for a job," and now he's got a job. And we have photographs of, you know, the adult Noah Posner. Well, Kelly Watt, who was the very first person to put this two and two together, this hypothesis that the resemblance was more than passing, that this actually was Noah Posner, was actually Michael Vabner as a child, had over 100 hours with a man who calls himself Lenny Posner. And lest there be any suspense, we have photographs of Lenny with Noah, you know, when Noah was young and Lenny was much younger. So when Noah turns out to be Michael Vabner as a child, it should not come as a surprise that we've now discerned that Lenny is actually Reuben Vabner, Michael Vabner's father, just posing, calling himself Lenny Posner. So he's just as much of a fake as Noah Posner. And needless to say, I do my homework on all these things, or I couldn't be out here talking about it. All these lawsuits are complete propaganda, public relations. They're trying to pull a stunt where they'll get people who are Sandy Hook critics to not talk about lawsuits while they're in process, which would be appropriate for an ordinary lawsuit, but this is not an ordinary lawsuit. And the last thing I want to do is avoid it. In fact, it's very common for lawsuits that you file a motion to dismiss. But I don't want the lawsuit to be dismissed. I want this to go to court. I want this to be resolved within a judicial setting. So I have filed an answer as an alternative to a motion to dismiss. Now, the specifics of the lawsuit, and this is the parallel with Wolfgang, is for defamation. Now, it's very specific. I'm supposed to have defamed him by declaring, and I've made this declaration hundreds of times, that this death certificate that Lenny gave to Kelly Watt, the same gal who figured out that Noah actually is Michael Vabner as a child, is a fabrication. But I mean, the evidence that it's a fabrication is simply overwhelming. I even put it in, you know, the book. Nobody died at Sandy Hook when it first appeared. And the complaint cites chapter 11 of that book, which I co-authored with Kelly Watt, about the death certificate. And it also cites a memorandum from the Sandy Hook memorandum series that I did with Robert David Steele, where it's interesting, this specific memorandum they cite has a whole lot of evidence that the whole thing was a hoax, but they just cite this few sentences where I say specifically, this is a fabrication. Now here's the artistry of the lawsuit. This death certificate, or a death certificate for Noah Posner, has been certified by the state of Connecticut. So they're asking the judge to take judicial notice that this death certificate has been certified, because it's supposed to follow from the existence of a certified death certificate that my claim that this is a fabrication has to be wrong or mistaken. And there are a couple of interesting aspects to this. One is, and this is just about as absurd as it gets, the very beginning of the lawsuit claims that Lenny Posner is a private person and not a public figure. Well, Lenny Posner has been out front for all the Sandy Hook parents more than anyone in the world. His photograph, his opinions have been published all over the world. Chapter 11 is a response to a specific column he'd published in the Hartford Courant about something about our grief and the twisted cruelty of the Sandy Hook skeptics. So that, you know, I published chapter 11 of the book, which, by the way, anyone can download for free as a PDF so they can read this chapter 11 and see exactly for themselves what I'm talking about. The chapter was published as a response to a published commentary by Lenny Posner attacking skeptics of Sandy Hook, which means he was already a public figure when I published the rebuttal. I mean, how ridiculous is it? I mean, this is so stupid and under evidence, meaning they have no justification for this whatsoever. But if he's a public figure, you see, if he's a public figure, which he obviously is, which I've argued in my answer already, then the standard that applies is New York Times versus Sullivan. This is a classic in First Amendment that says that if you're attacking someone who has a status of a public figure, then you have to prove actual malice, meaning that I knew what I said was false at the time I said it, but I said it anyway, in reckless disregard of the facts, in order to embarrass or humiliate. I mean, this is what the complaint says. I was out to embarrass or humiliate Leonard Posner. Well, frankly, I couldn't give a damn about Leonard Posner. I just want the truth about Sandy Hook. So, you know, I let the chips fall where they may. And if they are embarrassing or humiliating Lenny Posner, well, it's deserved because he's a monstrous fraud. In fact, he's totally phony. He's collected over $1 million by perpetrating this fraud on the American people. Let me lay that out, Robert. Sympathetic but gullible Americans contributed between $27 and $130 million to a fund for the Sandy Hook survivors, which divided by the 26 families because of the 20 kids and 6 adults, is over $1 million apiece. So they pocketed over $1 million apiece for pretending to be parents who lost children at Sandy Hook. And it's across the board. The whole thing is so stupid, it's unbelievable. When they banned my book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which has 13 contributors, including 6 current or retired PhD professors, and we established the school had been closed by 2008. There were no kids there. It was a two-day FEMA drill. We had the manual. I published it as Appendix A, and then it was done to promote gun control. I provided substantial, very elaborate proof of every one of these claims and conclusions, okay? So it's all there in the book. Amazon had to ban it less than a month after it was put on sale because it blows the whole case apart. They had 19 other books on sale, all of which conform to one way or another with the official account, including one by a fake teacher by the name of Caitlin Roig, who claims she saved 15 first graders by cramming him into a 3x4 closet with a door that swings inward. And I did a calculation. If you got 15 weighing 50 pounds apiece, say, that's 750, then Caitlin another 100 pounds of squirming little kids in a 3x4, a single NFL guard or tackle at 350 would have filled up this bathroom. I mean, it's a stupid story. But Amazon will sell this story, which is complete rubbish. She's making money after a totally fake story. But you get experts and scholars who blow the story apart, and Amazon cancels it. And they canceled it at the request of the deep state, I have no doubt. Because after it went on sale on 22 October 2015, it had sold nearly 500 copies when it was canceled on the 19th of November. And 2 days before it was canceled, I was contacted by First Edition, a TV program, saying they wanted to feature what we'd discovered about Sandy Hook. But first I had to do an interview, and I found myself in immediately in what I am convinced was a basement operation at Langley. You could hear the background noises. There were no niceties. No, I'm so glad to hear you. We're so interested in your book. A professional interrogator just began asking me immediately, what do you got? And I said, well, I said, we got 13 contributors, including 6 current or retired people. What do you got? Well, we've established the school was closed by 2008. There were no kids there. It was damaged by a hurricane, loaded with asbestos, other biohazards. What do you got? Well, we got 50 photographs of furnishing an empty house to serve as the Adam Lanzaretta. What do you got? We got 50 more photographs of them refurbishing the school to serve as the stage. What else you got? Well, we got a photograph of a crime scene vehicle there before the event has occurred, because just above the roof you can see a string of 4 windows in classroom 10 that are undamaged but afterwards would be shot out. What do you got? You know, well, we got the photos before and after, so you can see the comparison. And we got the perps looking at the window to decide what to do about it. And then we have photographs of four pink rods extending from holes in the window frame they had drilled. And at some point, you know, he just stopped asking questions. He had enough. And 2 days later, the book was banned. So this was their assessment. And of course, I'm hardly the only one to fault the whole shooting scenario as a fantasy. I mean, the target to kill the target ratio was phenomenal. And, you know, I used to, in the Marine Corps, I was at one point for a year a series commander. I had 15 DIs under my command and 300 recruits. And we go through the train cycle, including marksmanship training. No one who knows anyone about firearms would be taken in by Sandy Hook. In particular, this window pane where they drilled the holes and had the pink rods extending. All four of the pink rods are exactly parallel to one another, 90 degrees to the window pane. This is someone's idea of a fantasy shooting. And, of course, to conceal, you may or may not recall, but Wayne Carver, the medical examiner, explained he didn't allow parents to see the body but showed them photographs, implying that would be easier on them emotionally. But, of course, it was the only thing to do because the kids only existed as photographs. And to ensure that no one ever went in and saw the school was perfectly fine when they tore it down, which they did rather promptly, they required all of those involved in the demolition project to sign lifetime gag orders so they couldn't describe anything they saw or did not see, which would have included no blood on the floor, no pockmarks on the wall. This whole thing was complete and total bull. Now, what they did with Wolfgang is very interesting. They brought the suit for defamation against Wolfgang. I mean, it was not because he described the death certificate as, you know, a fabrication, but for analogous grounds. Wolfgang dutifully went to the preliminary hearings in the courtroom. Leonard Posner never showed up. There was an attorney there who appeared to be totally incompetent. No doubt this guy was the cheapest he could find who would actually go into the courtroom. The judge became very exasperated and declared, he directed that Lenny Posner, had to sit for a video deposition, at which point Leonard Posner withdrew his lawsuit because... And, you know, he claimed.
Let me ask you this. Where's the jurisdiction of where this lawsuit's filed, Dr. Fetzer?
It's filed, interestingly, in Dane County, which is the county of my residence. I live just 10 miles outside of Madison.
Now, how do you feel about that? How do you feel about
great.
That?
Look, I'm ecstatic about the whole bloody thing. I mean, you got to understand. Okay. I'm rather well known in the community for 10 years since I got down here in 2006. There's a local radio host who would have me on to talk about all kinds of these controversial events. And he called me the conspiracy guy. So for 10 years in Madison, I've been known as the conspiracy guy. So now you have an outsider bringing a lawsuit against a conspiracy guy. You know, I'm thrilled and ecstatic because it gives me the opportunity to take this into a court of law.
And so Ken, my producer, Dr. Fetzer, he's like talking about court being a two-way street and getting info during discovery. Are you happy about that process there?
Of course. Oh, of course. Of course. Absolutely. In fact, I'm beginning my discovery this week. By virtue of having filed my answer, I'm entitled to discovery. And there's going to be a lot going on there. Okay. Now, you mentioned the suits against Alex Jones.
Mm-hmm. Six families allegedly.
Well,
and supposedly they just had some sort of success wherever this jurisdiction, this one was filed
Connecticut.
At. Connecticut.
Yeah. Look, this is how phony the mainstream media is. They called it a success. What was it? They got discovery.
Yeah.
They got discovery against Alex Jones. Well, I've got discovery against Lenny Posner already. Right. But the mainstream isn't out there saying Fetzer gets the victory over Sandy Hook father. This is total propaganda. Mm-hmm. I'll give you more about this in relation to how I have exposed an Associated Press reporter for faking this whole story here. But let me tell you something more interesting. There are two suits that were filed concurrently against Alex Jones. One's in Texas and the other's in Connecticut. The one you're talking about is in Connecticut. I actually entered the Texas case in an amicus curiae or friend of the court capacity to advise the judge that a fraud was being perpetrated on the court. And my amicus curiae brief was accepted. I had five exhibits that show Noah Posner turning into Michael Vabner. I show how he was faked and fabricated. And this is in the legal file in the Texas case. Now, it's a sign and symptomatic of how Alex Jones is bending over to fold on this case, probably for a big payoff, that he's not seized that evidence. In fact, for years, I've been sending Alex Jones and his cohorts like Jerry Corsi our work. I mean, look, the book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, which would give him a total get-out-of-jail-free card, has been available since I released it for free. Right. On 19 November, because I just happened, I was going on with Jeff Renz that night. As soon as they banned the book, I knew it was totally political. And if I tried to contest it, it would just be dragged on indefinitely. They'd give me all kinds of meaningless reasons. For God's sake, I produced the book with CreateSpace, which is a subsidiary of Amazon.com. So how is a book produced by a subsidiary of Amazon.com going to violate their constraints? Their guidelines. In fact, they never told me what guideline this book was supposed to violate. But of course, we know now from the massive suppression by the social media giants of the internet, the guideline I violated is I can't speak the truth about any significant issue at variance that would expose the deep state. So I've actually put the seeds of truth into the Alex Jones case in Texas, and the fact that he's not exploiting what has already been accepted by the court into the formal files is a monster tell that Alex has sold out.
Yeah, well, you know, I see these strange parallels with Alex with his complete turnaround and backtrap on 9/11 and Sandy Hook. At the beginning of after Sandy Hook, he was always having Wolfgang on the program, and these guys were really exposing a lot of things. And now this has all went down the memory hole. Now with 9/11, Alex Jones was basically saying it's a lie hop, a stand down, and then the evil Saudis pulled off the operation. And that's where he goes with 9/11 now, and he never goes hardly any further unless guy like Pachinik's on with him or something like that. But that's it.
Steve Pachinik's a good man and a truth teller. But you notice who he's not had on his show about Sandy Hook.
Sure. Well, Pachinik, no, I got to give him Pachinik.
Robert, I'm making the point.
Yeah.
Alex Jones has had Wolfgang on, but he has not had me on
his show. That's right.
Okay, because I'd blow it apart.
Sure.
And I've done so much on 9/11 for crying out loud. I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December 2015.
You were on a couple of his old DVDs right post 9/11 with the Charlie Sheen stuff. You were on the panels with Webster Tarpley, the whole nine yards.
Well, those were my people. I mean, all four of the panelists that C-SPAN interviewed that Sunday, this is in the end of June 2006, hour and 45 minutes. It was moderated by Alex, but all four of the speakers were from Scholars for 9/11 Truth, which I founded. Steve Jones, a physicist from BYU, whom I invited to be my co-chair. Bob Bauman, who was a Korean War ace with 101 kills, but more importantly, he had a PhD in nuclear engineering from Caltech. And he was a scientific advisor on the Star Wars project for Presidents Reagan and Ford. Then we had Webster Tarpley, who published a book quite brilliant in many respects called 9/11 Synthetic Terror Made in the USA. And then myself, as a founder of Scholars, where I gave the top 10 reasons we knew that that 19 alleged hijackers were fake. So this was really wonderful. I mean, C-SPAN not only recorded it, but they put it up 8 or 9 times. In fact, you wouldn't know this. But Alex had invited me to be the keynote speaker for that American Scholars Conference. I was the keynote speaker at his 9/11 conference in Los Angeles.
All right, there's a break, Dr. Fetzer. We will come back, and then we will continue with the Sandy Hook bludgeon, incendiary radio on RBN.
Extend your life with Extend. When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendivite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendivite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendivite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendivite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
I found a fallen angel, too wicked for her home. Together we were wound, together we will roam. And I feed the fire, it is burning me alive.
All right, folks, we're back. It's Incendiary Radio on RBN with Dr. Jim Fetzer. Now, we were talking off the air, and basically he filed his answer a week early, and so there's about a 120-day window here to where this thing's going to get put on the docket and so forth and so on in his home jurisdiction there. And we were talking about some of the other parties being sued. But I just want to say this before we start back up. Is I think this operation that went on up there in Connecticut with the goofy governor, that goofy state police lieutenant, the goofy coroner, the thing is so outrageous of an attempted psychological warfare operation against the citizens of the country that they're throwing the kitchen sink at everybody that, you know, of prominence, like Dr. Fetzer. Like he was saying, he's the main target here because he, you know, like I said numerous times, Dr. Fetzer and some of these other guys, but Dr. Fetzer especially, they've got the eye for spotting, to quote Webster Tarpley's, synthetic operations, artificial operations that are being used for purposes to warp Americans and people of the world's minds And so they're, but we're going to go break. He had some things that he really wanted to get out here on the air about, you know, things that have to happen. So, but that's just my opinion. The way I look at Sandy Hook, it was just so disgustingly childish that they have to basically just try to slash and burn anybody that points out all these obvious anomalies and silly, you know, things that they try to put forth on those of us with a couple brain cells to rub together. But go ahead,
Robert. Let me ascertain. Am I on for another hour and a half? Because if I'm only on for another 25 minutes, I will shift gears and be very compact.
I mean, I've got a lot of other things that I've got to get to, so let's try to be compact. And
okay, you got it. Well, here's the deal then. Here's the deal then. Wolfgang was threatened by the local homicide detectives at the request of the Connecticut State Police. They actually came down to, they were on his porch in a gated community in Florida, telling him if he continued to pursue these questions about Sandy Hook, he would be prosecuted.
Yeah, I remember the state that.
The state police, at the press conference on the very day, threatened to prosecute anyone who gave a story at variance with the state police. Now, here's why they did that. These 50 photographs we have of furnishing an empty house, the 50 photographs we have of them refurbishing the school, were taken by the state police. The state police were running the op behind the scenes. And it's just disgusting. Wolfgang has affidavits from 10 Connecticut state policemen that they entered the school through this blown out window, glass door with a lot of, you know, loose shards of glass. Which is absurd. I mean, these police wouldn't enter that window. They'd be at risk of tearing or ripping their uniform. We have photographs. The furniture inside the window is not even out of place. And the glass particles on the ground aren't ground into the floor. That means no one went into that window. Yet he has affidavits from 10 Connecticut state troopers affirming, as he pointed out, the Three Stooges would have done better, because all 10 of these guys claim each of them went in carrying all their gear, all their pack. It's not only preposterous from a physical point of view, but the way police make entries is they break out the whole window before they enter in.
Sure.
In this case, that was not done. But as Wolfgang himself has observed, Larry would have gone in and then walked around to open the door for Curly and Moe. In other words, this is incredibly stupid, incredibly stupid. Now, the key to the lawsuit is the following. They maintain that there is no material difference between the death certificate that Lenny Posner gave to Kelly Watt and the death certificate that the state of Connecticut has certified. So their argument goes the following way. The state of Connecticut has certified a death certificate which is not materially different from the death certificate that Fetzer has described as a fabrication. Therefore, the death certificate is legitimate and Fetzer has committed defamation of Lenny Posner. My argument, however, is the following. Since we have demonstrated that the death certificate given by Lenny Posner to Kelly Watt is a fabrication, if the state of Connecticut has certified the death certificate, then the state of Connecticut has certified a fabrication, which is a crime even in Connecticut. So, you know, and the evidence I have already in the book about that this is a fraudulent. I mean, this includes, you know, very minutiae such as the size of the fonts and different. They use different fonts, different typefaces. They have different sizes.
Remember the big one though. The guy that's looking all goofy, like he doesn't even know how to wear a SWAT uniform. He's also a father of.
That's not part of the suit. Look,
right, but I know. But I mean, those are the silly things that all of us out here, regular people, look at and be like, "Oh my gosh, come on!"
I know. That was Barry Satoro did a thing on David Wheeler, who played two roles at Sandy Hook. He played the role of a grieving father, and he played a SWAT team member where he was walking up and down Dickinson Drive, carrying an AR-15 upside down by the magazine.
Right.
With a defender, get this, the defenders, the apologists for Sandy Hook, in other words, who want to maintain it was an authentic account, say, no, it was actually this FBI guy, I think his name is Annenberg, who bears a certain resemblance to David Wheeler, But while Annenberg is an actual police official, he would never carry a weapon upside down by a magazine. So, I mean, it's absurd. Turns out David Wheeler's wife, Francine, was a personal assistant to Maureen White, who was a DNC finance chairman who raised more money for the DNC than anyone else in that capacity. In other words, this is all corrupt from the beginning to the end. All a DNC, Barack Obama. You know, I don't know if Hillary had a hand in this, but it wouldn't be, you know, past her by any stretch. I mean, if she can slaughter Libya because she wants to benefit France and the bankers by getting a new central bank into Libya, I mean, there's nothing Hillary Clinton would not do. And we have
Eric Holder had his hands in this thing, and his history with the Oklahoma City bombing and all that.
Fast and furious. Eric Holder actually traveled to Connecticut and met with the governor on the 27th of November. Mm-hmm. So that when the governor is giving a press conference the day of the shooting, he's saying he and the lieutenant governor had been spoken to that something like this might happen. So I'm asking myself, spoken to by whom? Yeah. Something like this? What could he possibly mean? There are only two alternatives. That he'd been warned that someone might go nutty and come into a public school in Connecticut and shoot up a bunch of kids, in which case he is governor, had the obligation to notify the school system to increase their security to ensure it did not happen, which, however, he did not do. Or, alternatively, he'd been informed they were going to take an abandoned school, conduct a drill, present it as a real deal to promote gun control, which is exactly what happened. And it turns out by whom was Eric Holder? Was there a meeting with the governor on the 27th? 27th of the 14th? You got a couple of weeks in advance, he was telling the governor what was going down. This governor, by the way, is a very strange case. I'm told by people in the position to know he's not even literate, that he can't actually read and write. It's bizarre. But I'm telling you, this whole thing was a monster scam. FEMA was there. Listen, here's something very good Wolfgang did. He pursued his Freedom of Information Act request so far. They got into formal hearings where they had testimony under oath, including from Patricia LaLorda, who is the first select man in Newtown. That's a position equivalent to mayor. And they were asking her about the presence of the sign, this portable sign saying everyone must check in. And she denied that the town had put it there. And when they pressed her, she acknowledged that it had been put there by the Department of Homeland Security, which wasn't supposed to be there at all. And, of course, that's because it was a FEMA drill under the Department of Homeland Security. You know some of the most absurd acting that went on there? This Gene Rosen claimed that 4 to 6 in different stories, you get a different number of kids, were dropped off in front of his home, which is right adjacent to the firehouse. And he took them in and gave them orange juice and played with stuffed animals until they said that they didn't have a teacher anymore. And what were they going to do? Well, number one, there weren't any buses evacuating under children. Number two, no bus driver would drop off children at a home where that wasn't the parent or custodian. He had no relationship to these children. Number three, the whole story is completely absurd, and it turns out Gene Rosen was out doing talks about gun control on behalf of FEMA and DHS before this all occurred. Turns out both David Wheeler and Francine were flown down to the White House and put on television from the Oval Office to make an emotional appeal for gun control as the parents of a child who was killed at Sandy Hook. They both have acting credits. I mean, this thing is obscene. Francine Wheeler even has an acting credit for doing the voice of an animated character in an animated porn movie. I mean, it's that ridiculous. It's that ridiculous. Now, anyone who wants to know the particulars about the lawsuit, go to my new blog at jamesfetzer.org and search for Sandy Hook, or just put in the title, The Sandy Hook Posner v. Fetzer Lawsuit for Dummies, because I published there my answer, but it's in legalese, right? I mean, there's a lot of legal language, so I distill it into the bare bones there for everyone to understand. And I give you enough evidence, I give you a link, and I want to be sure to include this story too, a link to where I outed an AP reporter about this whole case. Remember I said it was filed on the 27th of November. I was served on the 29th. I got a phone call, not surprising at all, from an Associated Press reporter who actually hangs out at the Hartford Courant, who wanted to ask for my reaction to the lawsuit. About 5 or 10 seconds into our conversation, the call dropped. I knew for a certainty that if I didn't call him back, he'd say that I'd cut off the conversation. I wouldn't talk to him, that I cut off the call. So I called back, and his colleague put me in touch with him. And he said, I don't know what caused it to drop. He said, oh, I thought you hung up. That was what he was going to publish, except that I called him back. So I went on to explain to him. I just laid it out. Look, there were 13 contributors, 6 current or retired PhDs. We discovered the school had been closed by 2008. There were no kids there. It was infested with asbestos and other biohazards. It was even damaged by hurricane. That it was a FEMA, 2-day FEMA exercise. We even have the manual. That all the events that were unfolded and reporting confirmed that it was a FEMA drill, like the sign, nobody must check in. The bottled water and pizza at the firehouse, porta potties already in place, many there with name tags on lanyards. Parents bringing children to the scene. Now, no parent is going to bring their child to the scene of a child shooting massacre. But FEMA uses name tags on lanyard. They're actually color-coded to identify the players and their roles. In other words, all this fit to a T, a FEMA exercise. Plus, on the 14th, there was no surge of EMTs into the building, no string of ambulances to rush little bodies off to hospitals where they could be determined to be dead or alive. No medevac helicopter was called. They put up triage tarps, but no bodies were ever put on the triage tarps. In other words, there was nothing done to substantiate it had been a real event, even the following day. And, of course, all the broadcasting from Newtown just mixed all this stuff together. So until you reach the point of realizing we're actually being presented with a videotape that wasn't all taken on the same day and start sorting it out, once you realize it was a 2-day FEMA exercise, it all falls into place. And in addition, we had participants who got confused about the date. They put up donation websites for victims the day before the event. Even Adam Lanza's date of death was initially recorded in the Social Security Death Index as occurring on the 13th, making his feat in shooting 20 kids and 6 adults the following day all the more remarkable. So
you know what else was strange with is his mother and then this Peter Lanza character. That was all very strange stuff too.
Yeah, I agree completely. And there were all these fantastic reports about her having been a teacher at the school, his having gone to the school. I'm convinced that Adam Lanza is just as fictional as Noah Posner and the other kids. So I call this reporter back and I lay out him some of the basics, not quite as detailed, but nearly as detailed as I just laid out for you. And he says, well, you mean all these parents there? He says, they're still living there. You can go there and visit them. And I could tell at that point he seemed to have swallowed the story hook, line, and sinker. So I just, not to be more elaborate than I'd already been, I said, well, we're going to present a vigorous defense against this case, which has no basis whatsoever. Well, he published his story about the lawsuit in his interview with me within hours, and he said I'd authored the book. He said Mike Palachuk and I had authored the book. He didn't say anything about there being 13 contributors, that there were 6 current or retired PhD professors. As soon as you mention that, you see the whole story loses plausibility. I mean, how probable is it that you're going to have 6 highly qualified experts in research, which is why the degree matters. It's a formal certification that you're qualified in conducting original research. Be wrong about basic questions about whether or not the school was open, whether or not there were kids there, whether or not it was a FEMA drill. The whole story is preposterous, so he just lied about it. Well, the fact of the matter is I recorded the conversation. So I published a transcript of the conversation. I blew him right out of the water. So when you go to my blog and you get this, the Sandy Hook lawsuit for dummies, I have a link there to fake news about a false flag, AP reporter, a caught faking the story. And you can read the transcript of our whole conversation, verify every word I've said here. I also give you a link to a 2-hour overview, but maybe less than 2 hours, but it had like 130 slides. It's entitled Sandy Hook Update: Tracy Loses, Wolfgang Wins, The Deep State Strikes Back. So you can watch all this evidence I'm talking about for yourself. You can even see Noah Posner turn into Michael Vabner. You can see where Wolfgang's come up with a photograph of 8 of the Sandy Hook girls all alive and well and looking real perky. None of them are dead. This was all just so outrageous. And all the evidence is there, and yet you have all the mainstream media ponderously talking about, oh, these terrible people who challenge the Sandy Hook story as though we're somehow dim-witted or emotionally immature or sadistic. I mean, that the deep state, that Barack Obama should perpetrate an act of faux terrorism on the American people. This was very cleverly contrived to have maximal emotional impact so that every parent in the United States would put in a state of terror, of fear, that this could happen to their children to promote their anti-gun agenda, which, by the way, is misconceived in the extreme. I mean, the whole reason you have problems in Chicago is because they have strict gun control. If you got rid of the gun control, the gun deaths and problem would disappear to practically zero. We have all kinds of studies about how banning guns increases guns. We have studies worldwide that show the countries that have the highest per capita gun ownership have the lowest homicide rates. I mean, I'm telling you, the evidence is all one-sided, but because the Democratic Party is on this gun control thing, they want to disarm us so we are turned into slaves. Because believe me, once we are disarmed, we are the victims of the state. We are the subjects of the state. Dave Hodges was very good about this. He published a piece about how the attack on the First Amendment is coincided with the attack on the Second. Because sure. The attack on the First Amendment is to suppress people like me who are pointing out these state shootings, and I've gone through a whole host of them. We have a dozen books now at moonrockbooks.com because I've done it. I've brought together the best expert not only on Sandy Hook but on the Boston bombing, about Orlando and Dallas, about Charlottesville. I've just published about Parkland. They sent the kids home at 1 p.m. from Parkland because it was a holiday. So instead of having 3,500 kids there, they kept behind a couple dozen to be student crisis actors. We have a 52-second video from inside a classroom at Parkland. And you see the girls doing their best to scream as though they were in fear. One's there worried about her bottled water. Another's on her iPod. A kid is pulling his putts. The camera moves, and you see what's supposed to be a body lying on the ground, but it's a training dummy with no arms and no head lying in a pool of fake blood. And you see persons rushing in and out in police uniforms, and you think, wow, those Parkland cops are really Johnny on the spot to get there so fast, until you understand that Parkland gave up its police course in 2004. They don't have any cops. Those were actors in uniform. I'm telling you, I've blown these out of the water again and again and again, but the mainstream media, which is completely subservient to the CIA and the Israelis, I mean, the Zionist influence on our media is simply staggering. I frequently now show a panel of 100 executives from CNN, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, 100 executives from NBC, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens, 100 executives from the New York Times, all of whom are dual U.S.-Israeli citizens. I mean, it's just shocking.
Well, it seems like the template of what, you know, Russia and the Ukraine is what's the future template for us here. So, you know, what fascinates me is all these people, the Bloombergs of the world and the rest of them, they want to disarm the American population, while at the same time, these are the people forcing these mass migrations of people, highly dangerous, some of them, into our countries. They're arresting Pakistanis, Bangladeshis, Somalis, the rest of it. So they want to disarm us at the same time of flooding us with possibly hostile, you know, invading forces.
Yes. They're using Muslims to crush Christian culture in Europe. And then they're fabricating these invasions from South America. This was all put up. George Soros put up a lot of money. I have videos I've shown on news shows where you see these migrants are being transported rapidly on flatbed trucks. Sure. And when you look a close up on the trucks that are providing all their supplies they have, guess what? The Star of David. Is that bad? Let me add this. Let me add this too, since I only have a few minutes, Robert. Dave Hodges has pointed out that there were 19 democides in the 20th century, each of which was preceded by gun confiscation.
Sure.
And the attack on the First Amendment, they've taken out hundreds of my videos. They've taken out the videos of those who interview me about Sandy Hook. They're going back to 2014, 2015. Even Mike Adams, who's been ranked number two most influential on the internet after Alex Jones, was astonished when an interview he'd done with me back in 2015 after the book was banned caused to flag him and take down his whole his whole channel where he had a 1,700 plus videos and over 200,000 subscribers. He's back up now. But all the links were demolished when he was taken out. I mean, it's this gross. I was quite astonished when he came back to interview me again after having gone through all this early in 2018. And after it hadn't been up for 6 to 8 weeks, I figured he'd abandon the project. But he actually published it using a description of me that he'd introduced at the end of our interview for his blog about it. Most dangerous mind in America interviewed on false flags and extreme censorship. And it's just going, it was a lot about Sandy Hook, and yet some of the perps are trying to come out, and attack me as commentators on the blog, which gave me an opportunity to respond. Well, I have an opportunity to respond here to this lawsuit. And if anyone out there believes, after reviewing the evidence, look at all this stuff I'm talking about, wants to make a contribution to this attack on the deep state, because that's my opportunity. This is my occasion. This is where I'm taking my stand. If you want to make a contribution, large or small, as modest as you like, it'll just give you a sense of participation. Go to moonrockbooks.com because we put up a donation website. Right now, we think the depositions and so forth might run us a total of $20,000. I'm not talking about a large sum of money. If this were actually to get into the courtroom, then it would be World War III. But I tell you, I have so much evidence here. The case is so lopsided that they may tend to adopt the Leonard Posner strategy of evading Wolfgang, not even doing a video deposition. And by the way, he showed the same pattern before. There's a program called Darknet on Showtime, and they decided to do a feature on Sandy Hook, pitting me against Lenny Posner. And they came and they filmed me for 4 hours. And when I finally saw it, I tell you, my face is better defined visually than in any other. I've been in plenty of TV episodes. My face is better defined. Lenny, however, declined to let them show his facial features. He said because he didn't want his image on the internet. But I'll tell you, the real reason is the following. He didn't want someone to watch that show, that program, Darknet on Showtime, and say, hey, that's Reuben Vabner. I know that. Because this is a fraud on the court. He's not only committing theft by deception by posing as a family, as a member who lost a member at Sandy Hook. I mean, that's fraud by deception. He's perpetrating a fraud on the court by filing these lawsuits in the fake name and for a phony cause, and I intend to expose it. So if you believe in that, if you want to lend a hand, you're welcome. Go to moonrockbooks.com. And meanwhile, check out, we got a dozen books now. I mean, all about it. You might love the one about Parkland, which is our most recent. I'm telling you, it's all there.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Fetzer, there's the music. I'm going to be in touch, and we'll keep in touch about this. And anytime you want to come back on to give us an update, just let me know, all right?
Thanks, Robert. It's been terrific to have me on. Thanks so much.
All right, appreciate it. Wild times, folks. Very wild times. We'll see you after the top of the hour. Trump power, final hour. What is sitting under my skin? No tomorrow, no control.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.